Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Eagles, Packers. Coverage starts at 6. It does. But not as that was alluding to. That was 6 p.m. Coverage tomorrow on WIP. Eagles, Packers starts at 6 a.m. with Angelo. Let's just call it right now a 14-and-a-half-hour pregame show. I mean, come on. I mean, Ray, you remember in 1992.
I know exactly where you were going with this,
when
Joe.
We had a 15-day pregame show for the Eagles and Cowboys.
I remember, and Angelo did his show from the tent outside the stadium, coming on the air at 5:30 in the morning for a 9 o'clock kickoff, Eagles-Cowboys.
Incredible. And that was, if you remember, a 15-day build-up. The Eagles and Cowboys were the only two 3-0 teams, only two undefeated teams in football. Both had a bye week 4, and so it was 15 days to get to week 5 Monday Night Football.
Yeah, Eagles kicked butt that night.
Sure did. Herschel and Randall, they did their thing. It was that's one of my favorite Eagles games of all time. Really, really was one of my favorite games ever. All right,
I remember my good friend Skip Bayless, who you're probably well aware of, he was writing a book on the Cowboys that year. And so he was traveling with the team, and he told me this story that the Cowboys, it was that Monday. It was a Monday night game, obviously. Right. So it's that Monday in the hotel, and he's walking through the hotel lobby. And he runs into Norv Turner, who was then the offensive coordinator of the Cowboys. And the whole city's just on fire. Just on fire that day. And Skip says to Turner, Norv, how are you going to win this game tonight? And Turner said, win? We just want to survive. Mm-hmm. And boy, was he right. They just blew the Cowboys' doors off that night.
I remember Reggie was chasing Aikman. It was either the first or second play of the game. Aikman had to throw it away.
He chased Aikman, and Aikman got called
bootleg.
Intentional grounding, yep.
and then downhill
from there.
John Booty had an interception on the third play of the game. The whole thing was unbelievable. Then right in for the touchdown, and it was the Eagles. It was great. It was unbelievable. Let's go to the phones, talk to Billy T in Princeton. What's up, Billy T?
Gentlemen, before I get going on the Phillies, and thanks for taking the call.
Yes.
John, after I hang up, who should Howie be targeting on defense from some of these teams that are tanking? But let me get right to the Phillies. And I agree with James. I think he's got a clean house. And I'm telling you, McPhail's got to go, and Klintak's got to go. And whoever I brought in, I would let them interview Gabe. You can't, and I agree with you on this, Joe, he took a beating with his bullpen. And what are you going to do? You don't have the arms. But the entire coaching staff, I mean, we saw when they got rid of the hitting coach, even this pitching coach, he's teaching these guys to throw four-seam fastballs up in the zone at 91 miles an hour. Christ, I can get off the recliner and maybe hit that. So, you know, if you're throwing it at 90, not moving, it stays up. You need movement on your pitches. They're not teaching it. And Eflin came out a few weeks ago and proved that point. So are you guys there or am I?
No, we're listening.
No, we're listening.
Yeah, we got you.
No, okay.
You see your phone zapping out. Billy T, the problem is your phone's zapping out. So there you go.
John, I don't disagree with any of that.
Yeah, his first question, John, about what was his first question?
Defensive players that John was targeting.
You know, well, of course, Jalen Ramsey. I'd be willing to give up. I'd be willing to wow the Jags for Jalen Ramsey because he is that good. And people have been tossing around the name Yannick Ngakoue, like he could still be a potential target for the Eagles. And I don't know what his situation is. I mean, it's the same team as Ramsey. So, you know, maybe you're in there talking about one and you mention the other and see about that sort of availability.
Oh, can you imagine they trade for both those
guys?
No.
I'm just saying, if you're gonna be talking to him anyway.
Sure.
Hey, so that Yannick thing, I mean, he was unhappy and all, and you know, we do have a need for a pass rusher, so maybe we could figure something out. Yeah. Why not? He's good. We need someone good.
Well, they need a lot of someone's good.
Well, all right.
Speaking of the birds, the Eagles injury report is out, and obviously notable because they have a game tomorrow. So here's the deal. As the Eagles have issued their official report. Out for tomorrow's game, as expected, of course, is Deshaun. Also out, as we know, would be Timmy Jernigan. And Ronald Darby, as we certainly assume, based on what we had heard a couple days ago, he's out. The one guy listed as questionable for tomorrow is Corey Clement with the shoulder.
That's good news.
It is good news. Because
it means Alshon and Goddard.
It means Alshon's not on the list. It means Goddard's not on the list. It means Camus Grugier-Hill, who had started practicing.
He has already said he's definitely playing.
Yeah, so that's good stuff right there. So it could have been worse.
That helps a lot.
The injury report for last game was certainly a lot worse. So.
Yeah, it was.
You know, something Shiel talked about. Did I interrupt you?
You did not.
Go. Something Shiel talked about was the way that we were zone blitzing, essentially, you know, sending Bradham instead of a D-end at times. I don't know, you know, once again, just trying Schwartz is trying everything he can to generate pass rush. I wonder if Camus is a better blitzer than Nigel Bradham, because Nigel Bradham has not been successful when they're going with the backer dogs trying to get him in there. I hope he is. You know, because maybe that's something that can generate a little bit of pressure. Camus Grugier-Hill, we know he's fleet of foot, you know, because of what he's shown us in coverage, but also on special teams through the years. And, you know, maybe they time things up properly. He can get home. In terms of what Shiel was talking about, there were key plays in this last game against the Lions where we were trying to drop Derek Barnett into coverage. What does that tell you? No, seriously, if you're Jim Schwartz and you're doing everything you can schematically to give your defense the best chance it's got, how do you feel about Derek Barnett as a pass rusher? If he's dropping and covering tight end in man.
He did it to Fletcher 2 weeks ago, I remember a play. I mean, it's that very occasional.
I know it's very occasional, but I know it's a key play in the game.
Yeah.
And Derek Barnett is trying to run step for step with a tight end. Look, it just made me think.
I get it. And Barnett and
he's
Graham.
He's not as good as he's supposed to be.
Ray Barnett and Brandon Graham out of the gate this year. Three games. Disappointing.
Yeah, for sure. Barnett, I thought actually the first two games got some decent rushes but didn't get home, which is why I was expecting him to have a much better game against Detroit. I thought his matchup against Decker, I thought was one he would win, and he didn't.
Yeah.
So that was disappointing to me. Brandon Graham is almost invisible to me. I mean, he makes an occasional play against the run, but as far as the pass rush goes, he's given you very, very little there. It's just killing them. I mean, the lack of a pass rush is just killing this team. I mean, they have two sacks for three games. One by a safety and one by Jernigan, who's not even on the roster anymore. Of all the guys that are going to be lining up on your defensive line tomorrow, you don't have a single sack through three games. And you just can't – well, you can't survive against any quarterback in the NFL like that, but you certainly can't survive against Aaron Rodgers.
Really bad. Really bad. Tom in Abington's with us. Yo, Tom.
Yo, Solis. How are we doing today?
Hi, Tom.
Hey, so Jason Peters came down with some JoJo-itis on Sunday, huh?
Hey, now. You talking about MP or are you talking about the camera? I don't know which JoJo you're talking about.
Both work.
Oh, here we go.
So if you're feeling sick in the middle of a game, what causes that, right?
Well, you could.
Other than being out of shape.
Well, you could actually be sick. You could have the flu.
The flu or something,
I mean, you
theoretically.
So talking about you, JoJo, are you taking crazy pills today?
Well, I don't think
Usually.
So. What are you talking about?
Well, all right, I'm going to get the Kapler and Klintak, but, I mean, as far as Carson, you realize that the receivers dropped 20% of the balls thrown your way? That hasn't happened in the NFL in over 4 years, so that's like an historic drop rate.
Yeah.
Not to mention the key times that they chose to drop them, but let's move on.
Yeah.
Got Kapler. Look, I don't know. I think he stinks as an in-game manager. We could argue that point. Maybe it's lack of talent. You know, it's definitely lack of talent. But, you know, and he's still learning, and I get that. It's on the job. Maybe he'll get better, maybe he won't. But what I do know is that these players don't respect him.
I don't think you do know that, Tom. I really don't.
Well,
how do you know that you know that?
Well, he's talking about whipping out the curveball judge.
Oh, come on.
Listen,
was a thing, but it's also one thing
that
in 160. It's not a great look. But, I mean, to say that on reason.
He doesn't hold anybody accountable either. So how can you respect someone who doesn't hold anybody accountable?
Look, they had three or four notable moments this year. I thought, for the most part, I thought their effort was good. I do not think this was an effort issue. I mean, Tom, let me just say this regarding Gabe. I'll ask you the same question I asked the first caller today in the show. Given the talent, not that was supposed to be on the field for 162 games, given the talent that was actually on, or lack thereof, on the field for the 157 games they played or whatever it is, what do you think their record should be when this season's over?
I get your point there. I think it's about where it should be.
Yeah, exactly.
So I get that. I get that, and maybe he will learn. I don't know.
I mean, maybe they're actually better than they should be, given the lack of pitching, maybe.
I wish we knew.
I think that's going too far.
I don't know, Tom. I mean, they have had, other than Aaron Nola, they have no starting pitch.
Plus a negative run differential.
At the beginning, he was left scratching his head multiple occasions after watching the Phillies this year, and that's directly related to the manager and the moves he made. Right?
That's part of it. I mean, there have been, I can't tell you how many times this year he's made moves in the game that to me make absolutely no sense. And I understand a lot of it is driven by this analytics thing, which I don't claim to understand, nor do I care to. But there are other times that, I mean, I don't know that I'll ever get over, you know, pitching to Freddie Freeman with runners at second and third and first base open. I mean, to me, that's, I mean, you'd replace a little league, you'd replace a little league manager if he did something like that.
Well, that and pitching Roman Quinn maybe were the two worst decisions of the whole year as far as an in-game managerial move.
Right.
I mean, they might have been the two worst.
Plantac, he's depleted the farm system. He's made the team bad. And, Joe, you're saying that he could learn from it and, you know, make different decisions. Mm-hmm. But yet in the next breath, you say he rolled out the same pitching staff he was using to bridge a gap last year to secure a wild card spot this year. That's not learning.
Well, they're two different situations. Tom, give me something, and I'm sure you got 35 answers. Give me the best one you got, something I know little about.
I would say the Hammer knows very little about being humble.
You know what? I agree with you on that. It's a good call right there.
Yeah.
Not my
good
style.
Answer.
Humble, not my style. Not going to be a winning answer. No, I am quite humble. Quite humble.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Oh, you know I am. By the way,
I think you are, but the whole presidential thing.
Yeah, in some ways you really are humble.
You
and
actually
in other ways
think
you really aren't. It's
that,
really...
That's real. Like, that is real. The presidential thing is real.
That is not humble.
Just to be
you
clear.
You actually think that's going to happen.
I've told you the whys. I mean, beyond the fact that it's...
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have. At a Phillies game, I gave you a detailed description
he
of
did.
How it happens.
He did.
Here in short... I'm just... Ready?
It,
here
it was,
we go.
It was absurdity,
this is
he
right.
did.
This
yeah.
is a Carmelo Anthony possession. No one else touches the ball for the next 20 seconds. Here we go. 20 seconds. Ready? Ray, here's how I become president.
Mm-hmm.
I do the WIP thing for like the next 10 to 12 years.
Okay.
I'm about 52 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere next decade, I run for Congress from Philadelphia as, you know, someone that's...
Just out of the blue.
Carmelo Anthony possession. Get out. Okay? You don't touch the ball. Okay? If I have to go over the shot clock, I will.
It's a good line.
All right? It's my ball. House of Representatives. Because, you know, the WIP thing gives you a little prop up, a little bit of, you know, you're known
hold
a little
on,
bit.
Hold on. This is our...
Get out!
Hold on. This is our
get
country,
out!
Our country's
our
House
nation.
Of Representatives.
Yeah, I don't do the state thing like you try to do. I'm not worried about the state reps.
Richie's waving his arms, passing the ball.
I'm in Congress. Mm-hmm. Just like John Runyon was, just like Steve Largent was, I'm in Congress.
How mm-hmm. are you comparing there yourself he to he John goes. Runyon and Steve Largent?
Then... Once I'm in Congress, now you're you can move and shake like
mm-hmm.
Abe did.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you move and shake.
Here's the key like factor that's a major difference that you seem to just gloss over.
Okay,
John Runyon and Steve Largent played in the NFL for how long?
A decade or so.
And how much money did they have to devote to their campaign because of playing in the NFL?
I'll ring you up for money, man. It's no biggie. I'll call you.
So you're going to call people and they're going to say no. And you're going to run for Congress
for
free?
Dial him for dollars, baby. Dial him for dollars.
Once I'm in Washington, anything's possible, obviously within 6 to 8 years. I'm not certainly rich enough to be a governor or a senator. but you try to make that leap. You try to leap from the house to the big chair. And mm-hmm. it's been done before, and it can be done again. And
I
by
love
the
low-key comparing yeah. yourself to Abe Lincoln in there that you yeah. just tossed in there. You're like, it's just like Abe,
done
you know?
Before.
Abe had one term in Congress, about 10 or 12 years or so.
And what year was that? 18?
It was in 18, late 40s, I think, something like that.
48, 49.
It was one of them. Yeah, one of them.
Things are the same as they were in 1849?
They have changed. The issues have changed quite a bit. So anyway, that's the path.
Mm-hmm.
And then
How far off is this, Joe?
It starts in about ten to twelve years. The other thing, by the way, I shouldn't completely pass aside the governorship, because if you're from Philadelphia, as was proven in the Rendell Lynn Swan campaign, you obviously have a great great chance compared. I mean, I'll do the Eagles post game live thing like Rendell thing and then we'll be good to go. All you gotta do is get the Philly vote. Pittsburgh people, don't be listening to me right now.
Hey, listen, my good friend the governor overturned a lot of history. Nobody from Philadelphia is ever the governor.
But now
I mean, Rendell was running against an incredible amount of history because people from the western part of the state hate Philadelphia.
We know that.
He had to overcome all that.
I got it.
He was a master politician.
All right, Ray.
No, you don't have all that because you opposite.
All right. I could give you, like Ross Perot, I'll give you charts and diagrams, but I'm not going to do that right now. Ray Dittinger.
Very entertaining, but not very convincing.
Ray, a question for you, sir.
Yes.
And I will bring special notice to the fact this is not a past tense question or a future tense question.
Mm-hmm.
Is Carson Wentz a great NFL quarterback?
No. Not yet. Not now.
Well, he was 2 years ago. He was. 2 years ago, he was a great NFL quarterback.
He was your MVP.
There's no question 2 years ago. I'm surprised you. I'm not asking historical context.
No.
I'm saying when Carson this year takes the field, do you believe you're watching a great NFL quarterback? We know Mahomes is. He hasn't won a Super Bowl. He's won, like, what, one playoff game? Is Carson Wentz a great NFL quarterback today?
I would not say great. I would not say great, but I would say at the upper reaches of very good. But to me, it depends on each individual standard of what's great. I mean, I guess maybe I set the bar higher than most people, but I mean, great is great. I mean, to me, great is all time great. To me, great is you're ranking there with the best that ever played, and I don't see him at that point, but I certainly think he can be. And I guess the question I would say to you is, I'm trying to read between the lines of what you're saying about Wentz. Are you questioning this team's commitment to him as a guy that can win the whole thing?
No, I'll tell you exactly what I'm questioning. I said
because I got to tell you, Joe, it comes off like that to me.
Well,
it sounds like you're questioning whether he's actually the guy that can get you there.
I am questioning that.
Okay, well, that's a pretty significant question.
I'll tell you what I said on Monday, and this is how I feel. I feel he's absolutely the franchise quarterback. I am starting to have great doubts of whether he is going to be the star quarterback.
See, I don't. I don't either.
I think he's
that. I think he has that stuff. I mean, right now, I mean, he's been in a position these last 2 weeks where he's done everything he could to win games in the fourth quarter that would have been the kind of games that define great quarterbacks. And the reason he didn't get there was largely because of the people around him. Now, he's been less than perfect, and I'm with you there. But there's nothing that I've seen in the way he's playing or the way he's responded to adversity that makes me question whether or not he is capable of being a guy that wins you a championship. I still believe that.
Ray, it has been a great hour as always with you.
Always. I always look forward to it.
I hope you take that to heart, what he just said.
I try not to go toe-to-toe with Ray. Ray's got a bigger toe than me. It's not smart of me, but, you know.
Don't block that part out.
Which part?
The last part about Carson.
I don't even remember it anymore. I remember it, Ray. Listen,
John, you missed the tiny first joke.
Thanks a lot,
Joe.
Jeez, I'm glad I've spent the last hour with a guy who hasn't listened to me.
I'm playing. Ray, I think he's got a great shot to be there, but I do think he's got to clean up a lot of aspects of his game right now. I really do.
Okay. How about the people around him?
They have to clean it up more.
They need the guys around them. They're the ones that need the real big bucket and mop.
Yeah,
you know.
But the guy with the highest signing bonus in the history of pro football, I expect to carry the weight more than Isaac Seumalo.
That's irrelevant, Joe. That's irrelevant. How much he's being paid is irrelevant.
I don't agree with that.
No, I do. I do. It's all about his ability to perform and what he brings to your team when you need him to bring it. And I'll tell you that he has He's done everything he could to win these last two games, and the fact that they haven't gotten it done really isn't about him. It's about the supporting cast.
Ah, Ray, an honor as always, Ray, to have you in studio.
Job, okay. Ray. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray.
Right. Always a pleasure, guys.
Yes. Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie. More of, including this Twitter poll result. How did it go today? Who to keep, who to fire? We'll hit that next. Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
Finding the best network solutions for your business can be as tough as tracking down an empty meeting room. Comcast Business has a better way. Of course, they offer fast, reliable internet. And Comcast Business goes beyond fast with a full suite of innovative products and services, like automatic 4G LTE backup for complete reliability, powerful Wi-Fi to keep everyone connected, and bandwidth you can allocate between your customers and employees. But I'm not even done. How about advanced voice solutions you can actually afford? Or business TV that keeps customers entertained? Suddenly, the best for your business is right in front of you. You see everything Comcast Business has to offer when you go to ComcastBusiness.com or give them a call at 1-800-501-6000. That's 1-800-501-6000. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.